Warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show, determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the weepy.
Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war against bullshit. We would do anything and everything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept that, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I takes no bullshit from nobody. I actually expose the bullshit of society and chop it up into easy-to-digest chunks for you. Today won't be any different. Today, I'm going to be talking about the left. They just love to play the race card. They love to accuse us on the right of being racist and Nazis. However, more leftists are being exposed for being the dirty anti-Semites that they are. With their views on Israel and with their associations. I got hit to this hypocrisy when I attended the 2017 May Day rally in New York City. Communist, Marxist, socialist, and every other leftist chanted Israel go to hell and spoke about Zionism that I only ever heard spoken by white supremacists. It sounded more like a Nazi rally I have heard during history class. In fact, I'm not the only person that ever said this, that mentioned this, that noticed this. Gavin McGinnis even spoke about this on his show. Here, listen to this clip.
Yeah. In New York City, I'm so sick of the Klan galloping through Manhattan on their horses.
Yeah.
With the cops.
I'm so tired of these neo-Nazis walking around Manhattan Sea-hiling. It's a real problem.
What I was disturbed by at this rally was the amount of anti-Semitism, and not just like fuck off Jews, like, yeah, yelled from a corner. This was someone on the podium talking about the Jews, talking about Zionists. We will stop the Zionists in their tracks. It sounded exactly like the Nazis they purport to hate.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to be the Nazis. And I would like to also add
that's
on
our shit.
I would like to also add on.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the whole irony, but I'm going to be going through some articles and videos, and I'm going to be joined by New York City-based Rabbi Daniel Shayani. In fact, let me call him now and get him on so we could kick the tires and light the fires. Rabbi, how you doing?
Hey, good evening. It's a pleasure.
Yes, welcome back to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, you're like very perfect for this subject. You know, in fact, you wanted to come on when I proposed it last week, and it just amazes me. I already played a clip from the Gavin McGinnis show from last year when he was talking about how during the May, and we spoke about this the last time you were on during the May Day rally, how they mm-hmm. were talking about how they were chanting Israel go to hell, and how they were going to get rid of Zionism, and the way they were talking about it, it was almost similar to what Hitler spoke about, from what I've heard during history class.
That's right.
And I mean, and the reason why what inspired me to do this show today was, of course, the new Democratic darling of the party, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, and what she said about Israel, and you know, and basically who she surrounds herself with. I mean, I'm just going to go through it, but in fact, let me get your thoughts on it first.
Well, you know, I think that unfortunately we're going to just see more of this leftist anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as the Democratic Party goes more to the left, they're going to sort of tap into more of these anti-Semitic roots that go along with socialism from the beginning. Even before Karl Marx,
mm-hmm.
you know, the early socialists, you know, were anti-Semitic. You know, you had these proto-socialists in France,
mm-hmm.
like Proudhon, who, you know, were very anti-Semitic, you know. You know, really what people like Cortez are doing, and they may not realize it, is they're actually keeping up the stereotype of the Jewish banker, of the Jewish moneylender, the Jewish capitalist. Right, this was a stereotype that went back to the Middle Ages, and the Nazis believed in it, and the Soviets believed in it also. And, you know, they're just keeping that going, really, and, you know, unfortunately carrying it into the next decades.
Yeah. If I could read this article from thejewishpress.com, they reported on May 14, Democrat darling Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez spoke out her ass when she condemned Israel for Arabs killed by the IDF, by IDF soldiers at the Gaza border fence, saying this. She tweeted, "This is a massacre. I hope my peers have the moral courage to call it such. No state or entity is absolved of mass shootings of protesters. There is no justification. Palestinian people deserve basic human dignity as anyone else. Democrats can't be silent about this anymore." The shameful tweet was immediately the subject of irate response from fellow Democrats, mostly Jews, going by the names who uploaded countless links to articles showing how Hamas is regularly using its captive civilian population as gunfodder to promote its political goals, including exposing...
Right, they use the kids as human shields.
Mm-hmm. Including exposing them to live fires, which Hamas agents provoke. So that when she was interviewed on PBS Firing Line, she was a lot less militant about the Middle East conflict, and ready to admit she was way out of her league when it came to countries outside the Bronx and Queens. But then she added, "I am not an expert on geopolitics on the issue. Middle Eastern politics is not exactly at my kitchen table every night." Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez surrounds herself with anti-Semites like another darling of the Democrat Party, Hillary Clinton, whose mentor was an actual white supremacist, Senator Robert Byrd.
That's right. He was a Klansman. I think a Grand Prigon in the Klan.
Yeah. You know, and we're going to get into Ocasio's a connection to an anti-Semite herself, who she recently tried to backtrack. But what are your thoughts on her basically talking out the crack of her butt, not knowing the whole issue fully? Like, look, I'm not going to lie on this show. I don't even have a basic understanding of the conflict between Israel and Palestine. Am I going to condemn any side? No, because if I don't know, how can I have an educated opinion on the subject? That's just right, you know, intellectually dishonest.
You know, I'll tell you something. The worst thing in life, The worst thing in life is to be mindful of the fact that you're an ignoramus, but to speak with authority on something that you're an ignoramus about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're dealing with. You know, that's the epitome of stubbornness. You know, to speak with such authority and to speak with such certainty, you know, when she, you know, nonetheless realizes that she doesn't know anything about geopolitics. This is very dangerous. That the people that voted in this primary, they voted for somebody whose knowledge really consists of talking points and rallying chants from a college campus.
Yeah.
You know, and to tell you the truth, I'm surprised she even knows anything about the Bronx or Queens at all. I mean, she grew up in Yorktown Heights. I've gone up there for funeral work. It's a really ritzy place up in Westchester. Big homes, and you know, I'm sure she went to high school. Plenty of kids named Kylie and Chloe.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that really what really go usually the stereotype with a lot of these socialists? They come from real well to do families.
That's right.
They come, mm-hmm. and they have what you call that trust funds. They're trustafarians.
Trust fund babies. Her dad was an architect. They sent her to Boston University. She's a limousine liberal. She's a brown version of Maud. You know, there was a show in the 70s of B. Arthur called Maud.
That was,
you know, she lived in Westchester. She was a limousine liberal. We're dealing with the same thing here.
Yeah. Wasn't that a spinoff of the Carol Burnett show?
No, it was a spinoff of All in the Family.
Oh. See, I knew it was a spinoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's kind of funny that when you look, dig deep with all these, like, big mouth socialists, they were born with silver spoons in their mouths. And you got people like me who, I come from a working class family, and I'm a conservative, and I'm working class myself. I don't get any type of handouts. Mommy and daddy don't pay my rent. You know, I don't have a trust fund, and I'm not trying to spend up other people's money. You know, you have this person, you know, who, it's kind of scary. She's talking with authority about something she doesn't know. It makes you think, what else doesn't she know? And people are backing her, and she's, everyone's looking at her like she's the darling of the Democrat crackhead party.
Yeah.
But like, let's go with this next article from the Washington Times and Forward.com, talking about her associate. TV cameras picked out Thomas Lopez Pierre, who ran unsuccessfully for New York City Council last year and is running again in 2021, standing just behind Ocasio-Cortez when she learned that she had toppled 10-term incumbent Representative Joe Crowley. Lopez Pierre's Twitter bio says he is promoting people protecting people from greedy Jewish landlords. Look, yeah, I mean, dude, I mean, isn't that like an argument like someone from Nazi Germany would have said?
It certainly is. The media tells us, you know, we're here in New York, Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell us that we need to be afraid of, you know, white guys with crew cuts. You know, the threat in New York City is much different than it comes, you know, in the guise of people like Thomas Lopez Pierre and, you know, Cortez over here.
Yeah.
This guy Lopez Pierre, by the way, he's also can't keep his hands to himself either. You know, he used to beat up his wife, this dude.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, again, yeah. I mean, that goes together with the cowardly left. I mean, doesn't Antifa like to hit women? They like to beat up people in wheelchairs and then attack people from behind. So this is, it's no surprise.
That's right. Yeah, everything's a cheap shot below the belt with these losers.
Yeah. I mean, it's, oops, oh. We got Doug Salmon. He's listening. Hey, Doug, thanks for listening. If you guys want to chat, the chat room is open on Spreaker.com. So let's chat it up, man. If you got any questions for the rabbi, yeah, just type them in. All right. So, I mean, going further with this article here, where was I? In May of 2018, Lopez Pierre ranted against greedy Jewish landlords, saying Jesus should put them in hell. Just this month, Lopez Pierre tweeted about greedy Jewish landlords. It is their business model to push out black and Hispanic tenants. He argued that he is not anti-Semitic, claiming that he would be fighting greedy Martian landlords if that's who owned the property in gentrifying neighborhoods like Harlem and Washington Heights. I'm dating a number of women, and a number of them are Jewish, he added. And I had to, like, this like, you know, my god sister, who, you know, we talk almost every day, it made me think that last statement also could also get him in trouble with the Me Too movement. He is talking about women like they're objects, and he is fetishizing Jewish women. Basically, in the words of Dave Chappelle, he is a racist, but his penis is a humanitarian. It amazes me that the media has for the most part allowed this to pass without at least calling her out on it. She was in the same room with old boy, yet Trump never met, spoke to, or even welcomes David Duke, but continues to associate Trump with that white supremacist. Further proof that the left are the ones that are racist is that they will associate with known anti-Semites like Louis Farrakhan. I just jumped ahead. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, when David Duke endorsed Trump, they're like, disavow Trump. There are no pictures with him and Trump together. They don't hang out. He doesn't know David Duke. Yet there are pictures with Robert Byrd and Hillary kissing her on the cheek. There are pictures with Pierre and Cortez together.
Yeah, pictures of Maxine Waters and Obama and the Congressional Black Caucus with Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Farrakhan. You know, Maxine Waters with Farrakhan and Obama with Farrakhan. You know, that's okay. That gets a free pass.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, recently there was audio that came out that he says satanic Jews.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's like, how do you like give a pass to that? Yet you just ignore certain words saying, the illegals coming into this country, when you're referring to illegals, we're not getting the best ones. We're getting rapists, which is true. I mean, before Telemundo, I was taking a I don't know if you read that on my wall, Rabbi, but I took a cab ride, a share cab ride from work to go home. And, you know, I was talking with the driver on how I like to ride down 9th Avenue on my scooter, because it's fun. It's mostly downhill. And, you know, I comment on how when I used to live in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and going to Dumbo, I worked at Dumbo, I would ride. And one time a white person spit in my face, called me the N-word, and told me to go back to Africa because I was in his bike lane. And the lady that was with me, she said, "Oh, sounds like he's a Trump supporter." I was like, "Well, actually, he had a Hillary for president sticker on his."
Yeah, I don't think, you know what, I don't think you have too many conservatives, you know, that ride bicycles in New York.
Yeah,
I get the sense this isn't a conservative, you know, pastime to,
yeah,
you know, ride city bike or whatever.
Well, he was riding one of those cargo bikes, so he was like a bike messenger.
Yeah.
Type, and he spits.
Probably still lives in his mother's basement.
Yeah, so he spits in my face and starts pedaling faster because, because he knew I was gonna kill him if I got my hands on him. he got away because he started pedaling faster. I called him every name in the book that you could call a man that would guarantee a fight. But all he did was pull down his shorts and showed me his bare bottom and pedaled faster.
Yeah, he's a pervert too.
Yeah.
An exhibitionist.
So, you know, so she goes, "Oh, it sounds like a Trump supporter." And then I mentioned that tidbit, and she's like, "Oh, well, you know," starts talking about Trump. I'm like, "Oh, well, Trump's a racist." I'm like, "Well, how's he a racist?" And that's what got her upset. And I'm like, "Do you speak Spanish?" Because she's talking about, "Oh, what he said about Mexicans." I'm like, "Do you speak Spanish?" "No." "Do you know how they talk about you?" Because they won't tell you to your face, but I talk to Mexicans all the time, and especially the ones that are illegal. "Oh, have you been to Mexico?" "No, but I've spoken to, there's a big Mexican community in Queens." And they, you know, they look at me and they start talking to me in Spanish and they tell me things. And I and she wouldn't hear any of my personal experience dealing with speaking with illegals. And they do want to kill us. And by us, I do mean also Puerto Ricans, because we're natural citizens. You know, and she wouldn't let me tell the story about how they tried to molest my then 12-year-old cousin while I was at the store with her, and I had to bop one of them in the nose. You know, it's really they're dangerous. They're dangerous people. These illegals are dangerous. And yeah, but anyways, I forgot where I was going with it.
On the topic of anti-Semitism, yeah. I should tell you, I used to work in kosher restaurants as a supervisor.
Okay.
And, the illegal immigrants working in kosher restaurants, they absolutely hate the Jews also, in most of my conversations I've had with them.
What are their problems?
You know what? A lot of them, you know, I'll tell you, you know, listen, I was once in a place and I had a guy look at me and he started asking me in Spanish, and I understand Spanish. He started asking me questions. "Why don't you believe in Jesus? Why don't you believe in the Blessed Mother? Why did you kill Jesus?" You know, so there's a theological element, and there's also an element of this sort of resentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about balls. You come into a country illegally, and then you complain about the job that you shouldn't even have in a country that you shouldn't even be in.
Yeah.
Right? This is the nerviness we're dealing with. This is the level of balls that we're dealing with these people.
My best friend would say, "We didn't kill Jesus, we sold the lumber."
Yeah. Whatever it is, what happened 2,000 years ago, you know, what does this have to do with life nowadays? And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the central principle of Christianity theologically that he willingly accepted death upon himself?
Yes.
Yeah. So what difference would it make who was involved? If this is the theology. But
yeah. I mean if he didn't
sort of, yeah.
According to the belief, If he didn't die, we wouldn't be saved for our sins. We would still have to be sacrificing cattle in order to be absolved of sins. And imagine how difficult that would be in New York City. People riding the train with their sheep to be, you know, barbecued.
Yeah.
Just messed up. I mean, but going with Louis Farrakhan, let me going back on topic. I'm sorry, but they associate with Louis Farrakhan. In fact, as reported by ABC News, the Republican Jewish Coalition is calling for the resignation of 7 Democratic members of Congress, who it claims are connected to controversial Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. The group describes him as a known anti-Semite. The lobbying group on Tuesday called for the following lawmakers to step down: Representative Keith Ellison, a Democrat from Minnesota; Barbara Lee, a Democrat from California; surprise, surprise, Maxine Waters; Danny Davis from Illinois; Andre Carson from Indiana; Gregory Meeks from New York; and Al Green of Texas, all Democrats. Why?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's very funny about Mac. You know, this is like all the other socialists.
Mm-hmm.
They want socialism for everybody else but themselves. In 2008, Waters, in a congressional hearing with oil executives, you know, she told them that she would be all about socializing the oil companies. And, the same one calling for the oil companies to be nationalized. You know, she was rated one of the most corrupt members of Congress by Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You know, she was a senior member of the House Financial Services Committee. Mm-hmm. And, her husband and her own millions of dollars of stock in a company called One United Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And she used her position in the Congress, you know, to try to get the Treasury Secretary to meet with this bank. So you can't get any more corrupt than this, and yet she's the same one calling for the oil companies to be nationalized, and, you know, she pals around with Farrakhan.
Yeah, I mean, because that absolutely worked out great for Venezuela.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I already know once the government gets its hands on anything, it turns to crap, which is why our education system is crap, which is why our healthcare system is turning into crap. I mean, the fact that, you know, a lot of hospitals can't afford to get the IV bags, the $1 IV bags that they charge $500 for.
Yeah.
I mean, but why is it that, what is the hatred? I like, because honestly, I see this on both sides. I mean, I've seen this on both sides. In fact, have you ever heard of this thing called Christian identity?
Yes, but I think it's a very small fringe movement, and I don't think they certainly have anybody in Congress.
No, they don't. But it's like I'm just comparing it because it's I've come across them, you know, being on the internet, doing this podcast for years. You know, they say the same things, and then they complain about the alt-right. And, you know, they do have recordings of some people protesting in Charlottesville last year, chanting, "Jews will not replace us. Jews will not replace us." And if you really look at what the alt-right believes, they're not really right. They lean to the left. They just want ethnocentric socialism.
That's very true. You know, the alt-right You know, they're okay with socialized medicine, healthcare in principle, mm-hmm. and they also believe in eugenics. They believe in abortion as a eugenic instrument to racially purify society, which is what the Nazis believed.
Mm-hmm.
This is what progressives, including Margaret Sanger, believed as well. She founded Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and they worship Margaret Sanger like she's the Messiah. Yet they you know, when you bring up, well, she believed in eugenics and she believed that black people should be exterminated, and that's who mostly gets abortions at Planned Parenthood. They're always quick to say, well, you know that's how, what it was like. It's not like that now. And again, it's that excuse that they won't let they always throw that was another thing, which is why I forgot. The lady in the cab kept bringing up, oh well, Trump's father is a racist. I'm like, well, so what? My father was a gang member. Does that make me a gang member?
That's right.
I mean, does that, like, you know, is that some Judeo law that if the father is a racist, you are a racist?
No, actually, Judaism teaches the opposite.
Yeah, you don't pay for the sins of the father.
That's right. Yeah, everybody has to make an accounting to God for his own actions in this world. Mm-hmm. The sins of the fathers don't get visited upon the sons, and vice versa.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like, so like, you know, it's. But that only applies to, like, Planned Parenthood, because it's like, oh, well, it's not like that now. Or, oh, the Democrat Party used to be the party of the KKK, but it's not like that now, even though a lot of their tactics and ideals have the same outcome, the same negative outcome on minorities and others like it did before.
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep us on the plantation. Going through this, this other article that I got, reported in the New York Post, recently the national co-chair of the Women's March, Tamika Mallory, attended a Nation of Islam event in which Louis Farrakhan called Jews his enemy and held them responsible for this filth and degenerate behavior that Hollywood is putting out, turning men into women and women into men. Mallory had previously posted a photo of herself with Farrakhan and praised him as the greatest of all time. In her caption, when Mallory finally responds to critics, she cast herself as a victim and defended Farrakhan. Fellow Women's March co-chair Linda Sarsour and Carmen Perez also defended Farrakhan, while liberal groups, Jewish and otherwise, have indicated that they'll put up with the anti-Semitism in the name of left-wing social justice. Some Jews declined to participate in the Women's March sponsored national school walkout against guns this month. Written in the foreword, Abigail Fisher criticized the dissenters on one school, SAR Academy in Riverdale, merely held its own anti-gun march on a different day to both protest against gun violence and anti-Semitism. Fisher attacked the kids for protesting anti-Semitism by distracting themselves from the official protest. SAR made clear that anti-Semitism is more important than gun violence, which I agree. Honestly, if you really think about it, I agree, because the whole gun debate on their side is really just misguided and just
most certainly.
Yeah, and basically short-sighted, because you're just, you know, if you look at, you know, they like to compare Australia to us. you know, the violence that's going on in Australia, and those people can barely defend themselves. Like in England, you could barely defend yourself in England. In fact, if you do, you're the one that gets locked up. But you know, but what do you think of the goal? I mean, this is the women's march organizers, the people that are resist Trump and wearing pussy hats, yet they side with a religion that marginalizes and disrespects women. In fact, you know, they say they have leaders that say that it's okay to beat their women, and they keep them. They keep them restricted, very restricted. Yet they, aside from the whole, you know, they're promoting the destruction of the Jews. That's all they talk about.
Islam is inherently anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father is of Sephardic ancestry. My father's side, they came from the Middle East. They came from Syria, mm-hmm. and they came from Yemen. They lived amongst Muslims, and they suffered for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they were very, you know, that's what they were fleeing. They were fleeing Muslim anti-Semitism. But that's a narrative that totally gets ignored.
But why is that if they are so tolerant, if they're so against this? In fact, they would, it's like they get sexually excited if they see that someone scribbled swastikas on somebody's building.
Mm-hmm.
They're so ready to fight against racism, except when that person agrees with what they're talking about or what they want. Like, you know, it's you know, you don't have to accept the person's. If they agree with you on one thing, it doesn't mean you gotta stick with them if they do something messed up. How would I put this? Okay, let me put it in terms of food because I'm fat. Let's say I go to this. There's this restaurant that makes the best arugula.
Mm-hmm.
Which. If people who don't know arugula, it's like a little pastry. It has like either chocolate or a cherry fruit thing inside of it. It's delicious. But if I find out that the owner is a pedophile, I'm not going to continue patronizing him because I'm not going to. So even though he bakes good arugula, I'm not going to give him money so that we can use it to go molest children. I mean, so these people, okay, well, they say one thing that they like, and they're just going along with it so that way they could continue supporting this person. It's like you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But what are your thoughts?
You know, I'm just thinking about this whole thing with Tamika Mallory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Starbucks, when they closed down for the diversity training, you know, this is just, it was quite comical for me to see the left turning on each other. You know, she called the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, which is a very left-wing organization. The guy who runs it was an official in the Obama administration. You know, the ADL, they're effectively, you know, a moderate liberal organization. She calls them an enemy of black and brown people. You know, so this, you know, this goes to show the extent to which you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, that they see Israel as an enemy. Now, Israel actually takes in, you know, asylum seekers, immigrants from Africa. There are a lot of Africans living in Israel illegally. The government lets them be. You know, the Jews were largely involved in the civil rights movement until they were kicked out by Stokely Carmichael.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ignoring this history, you know, is really where I think we see a lot of the black community, which, is the number one identity politics filler for the Democrats. You know, I don't even think we need to go into Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton being anti-Semites. In 1995, Al Sharpton led a mob in Harlem to set fire to a Jewish-owned store. You know, Al Sharpton instigated riots in Crown Heights in 1992. And Jesse Jackson called New York City Haimi Town. You know, if a Jewish person had used the N-word in relation to Detroit or something like that, you would have all hell breaking loose.
Of course.
So, you know, of course it's a double standard. You know, this Women's March leaders are all anti-Semites. Tamika Mallory and Linda Sarsour, whose name means cockroach in Arabic, apparently.
I thought it meant toilet.
Yeah, I heard cockroach. I heard Sarsour means cockroach in Arabic.
Hmm. Which means it could be a fake name.
Yeah.
It could be a fake name. But, goodness, what was the thought point? I forgot the point I was going to make. Never mind. But it's just, it amazes me how, you know, they're so quick to call us Nazis. In fact, I mean, I've been called a Nazi when there were Jewish people with us at the May Day rally, the Jews for Trump. They got called Nazis, saying that they're going against, you know, I get told I'm going against my best interest. They're going against their best interest. But they chant Israel go to hell. And they're talking about they're going to destroy Zionism. And it's like how do they not see their own hypocrisy? Do you believe that they know that they're being hypocritical and they don't care, or they're just a huge level of cognitive dissonance?
They don't care about being hypocritical. That's not their concern. They don't care. They just care about doing their thing, and they care about doing what's expedient. They care about what's going to suit them politically, and any measure of logic or objectivity or reality could be damned. You know, that's not their concern. They're occupying a totally different headspace.
Yeah, I mean, Antifa, if we could talk about Antifa real quick. I mean, let me play this quick audio. This was from one of the battles of Berkeley.
Fight the greedy landlords.
Oh, that was a Pierre.
Hi, this is Thomas Lopez Pierre. I'm in the Bronx supporting Alexandria Cortez for Congress. I'm standing in front of the Pelham Parkway Station. We need her in Congress. We need someone that's going to help us fight the greedy landlords that are pushing black and Hispanic tenants out of our community. We need someone that's going to fight for health care for all. We need someone that's going to reject the corruption of corporate campaign contributions. So I urge you today to come out and vote for Alexandria Cortez for Congress. And today we're going to have new leadership in Congress. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was the wrong clip, but I meant to play that earlier because, you know, he said this.
Fight the greedy landlords.
As, you know, as we all know, he meant the greedy Jewish landlords, what he means by that. But here, let me play this next clip. This was from one of the battles of Berkeley, someone confronting Antifa about anti-Semitism.
You know everybody over here is Jewish, right? You guys are on the wrong side, my friend. Defend Jews from Antifa. Milo Yiannopoulos, you want to shut him down? Milo's a Jew. Christina Hoff Sommers, you want to shut her down? Christina is a Jew. Kyle Chapman, base stickman, you want to hurt Kyle Chapman? Kyle Chapman is a Jew. Ben Shapiro, you want to shut him down? Ben Shapiro is a Jew. Defend Jews from Antifa. Alerta, alerta, crypto fascista. Alerta, alerta, crypto fascista. Alerta, alerta, crypto fascista. Defend Jews from Antifa.
What are your thoughts on that clip?
Oh, well, you know, I see no difference between Antifa and Nazi brown shirts. I see no difference whatsoever. They're incredibly violent, and, you know, I would strongly suspect that that Antifa is supportive of terrorist organizations, Hamas, the Palestinian terrorist organization. It's like sort of this Muslim, you know, anarcho-communist, you know, movement we're dealing with. They love attacking Jews. Conservative Jews are a special target of, you know, of these radicals.
I see.
And you know, yeah, the more pro-Jewish things Trump does with the embassy and, you know, the embassy in Jerusalem and whatever, the more hateful they get.
Yeah, you would like the whole moving of the embassy like really seems, you know, that whole anger really seems ridiculous, really, because I mean, first of all, he's just following the law that was passed. Back in 1995. And what's so wrong with moving the embassy?
Recognizing the capital of a country that the country themselves recognizes. You know, to not recognize the country's capital is really a way to form colonialism. Mm. Isn't the left supposed to be anti-colonialist? Aren't they supposed to be in favor of, you know, the self-determination of a nation state?
Yeah, you would think that's what they. Well, they don't believe in borders. They don't want borders anymore. That's all they say.
They're globalists.
Yeah,
complete globalists.
Actually, it's funny that you bring up that word specifically, because I was on a liberal talk show a few weeks ago. And I told them I'm anti-globalist, and I got called an anti-Semite.
The irony of that is that the United Nations, the face of globalism, is the most anti-Semitic entity on the face of the earth.
Oh yeah, I wanna destroy the UN. Death to the UN.
Oh, the UN is so anti-Semitic.
Am I? I mean, I can't stand their blue helmets. They constantly get caught raping people in their country.
Bunch of pedophiles and rapists. They've done nothing to prevent genocide in the 50 years, 60 years they've been around. They're useless.
Yeah. I mean, they what happened with it, especially what they did in Haiti? You know, they would force the women to sleep with them if they wanted food.
Yeah,
I mean, that was coming out of there. They were, in fact, I remember, I forgot where they were exactly, but they were producing child pornography. The Blue Helmets were molesting the children in the country that they were sent to protect. You know,
they have Saudi Arabia and Iran on the Human Rights Committee.
Yeah.
The most egregious violators of human rights, you know, in the world.
So,
you know, they get put on the Human Rights Committee.
So, Rabbi, why would someone call anyone who's against globalism that word, say that word is anti-Semitic?
Because, listen, when you can't form an argument, mm-hmm. when you can't form a logical argument, it's either racist, Islamophobic, homophobic, misogynistic, anti-Semitic, transphobic, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they were just mentioning terms and people, writers that I've never heard of. Based on such and such writing, you know, anyone that uses that word is anti. It pertains to a Nazi writing of the Jews trying to take over the world, and I'm like, well, that's not how I'm using it. I'm using it as I don't want someone from another country telling me how I should live. You know, I don't want someone who I didn't vote for in another country telling me how I should live and trying to determine laws, you know, from thousands of miles away that will affect me.
You know, something the Torah itself condemns globalism.
Oh, really?
Right? It's like people never read the story of the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The United Nations, the European Union, you know, this is all sort of a modern day incarnation of the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm. And God didn't want to, and I remember that story by heart. You know, all these people wanted to build this whole tower that would be greater, that they would say that would be greater than God. And mm-hmm. what ended up happening, God ended up breaking them apart by giving them different languages. And they ended up, you know, going amongst themselves. And you make a good point because, I mean, look what's going to happen to the EU. I mean, the EU, it's only a matter of time before that starts to break up. Yeah, you have Brexit, you have talks of other countries wanting to leave the EU.
That's right, it's funny, people, they mention George Soros. Mm-hmm. The criticism against George Soros has nothing to do with the fact that he's of Jewish ethnicity, because George Soros himself was a capo. He turned Jews into the Nazis during the Second World War. So, I don't want to hear anything about George Soros, yeah. You know, like he's a representative of the Jews. The man is pure scum. He's evil as could be.
Yeah, and how is he not, like, of course, because he gives money to these people. But he he admitted himself that he worked with the Nazis, that he was Nazi youth, right. That his father was a colonel in the Nazi army. Like, you know, I mean, honestly, I guess, you know, he has no conscience, because any normal person would have probably killed themselves knowing that they sent their own people to death. Like, especially with everything we know about what the Nazis did in World War II. I mean, if I was responsible for the death of 6 million of my people, I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't go on. Yet this man, he continues to thrive. He continues to try to destroy another country. And you know, he's funding. He's funding a civil war. How's that? How is he not getting called out for working with the Nazis when he admitted it himself?
He admitted it himself. He's meddled. You know, you want to talk about meddling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's meddled against Netanyahu in Israel. You know, he's instigated a lot of. Agitation amongst the Palestinians. He's no friend of the Jewish state, George Soros.
Mm.
No friend of Israel at all. And he's funded NGOs that support boycotts and sanctions against Israel, the BDS movement. He's involved in that.
How has Mossad not, like, taken him out?
I wish they would. I mean, you know, George Soros once said that he wants nothing to do with Israel.
Mm.
Said the Jews should have a right to a national existence, but I don't want anything to do with it. So this is the kind of personality we're dealing with. He's pure evil, and he has absolutely no fealty to anything Jewish.
They should go after him and do, like, kill him by doing those traps that they did in that movie Munich.
Yeah.
which
yeah, let him die a martyr's death, you know. Let him get 72 virgins.
Yeah. They call his phone, put a bomb in his phone and call it. Like some acne Wile E. Coyote shit. That'd be hilarious. You know, he got George Soros was assassinated via anvil falling on his head.
I love it.
I mean, you know, do they just, like, I know I keep asking this, but, like, how do they just blind themselves? How do they not, like, we're forced to keep ourselves real. Keep it real with ourselves. We disavowed the alt-right when they revealed themselves as a bunch of, a bunch of foolish goons. They were all disavowed. We disavowed Richard Spencer when he made it clear that he was a fool. But they don't disavow any of their people. They don't disavow any people that they continue supporting them, even though they keep revealing themselves as anti-Semites, as just evil people. So, I mean, what is the takeaway from this? How do we fight this hypocrisy?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I think the best thing to do, honestly, is to let them speak for themselves.
Yeah.
I think the more we let them speak for themselves, the more they shoot themselves in the foot. And I think the more people, certainly in America, realize this. I think Maxine Waters is the best thing for the Republican Party. I think the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the best thing for the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more that they map meetings, the more they show themselves to be morons. And the more that they show themselves to be morons, the more the American people see through it.
Yeah.
The American people do not want socialism. And every poll confirms this.
So, anyways, do you have anything any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think that it's very important, first of all, for people to realize that when, we talk about anti-Semitism, a lot of people like to make this artificial distinction. Well, a non-Jew could be against Zionism but still be not anti-Semitic. That's not true at all. It ends up being couched language one for the other. Even Martin Luther King, you should rest in peace, realized this.
Mm.
That when people talk about anti-Zionism, it's really just being anti-Semitic. If you deny a people self-determination, you deny a people the right to their land, which international law even recognizes, that's anti-Semitism. Legitimate criticism is one thing, but the criticism has to be legitimate. It can't be heavy-handed,
right?
And it can't be that you're applying, a double standard to Israel versus other nations. The second thing that I want to point out is that, there's really nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to understand why the left is being so anti-Semitic. We're in New York City. Reach out, talk to people. Talk to Jewish people that were refugees from the Soviet Union, people that were actually oppressed and persecuted for their religion. Talk to them. They'll tell you how the Jews were treated in the Soviet Union under communism, under a state whose ideology goes right back to Karl Marx, who wrote a book called On the Jewish Problem.
How many people were killed?
The pieces of history all fit together very nicely.
How many people were killed under communism? How many Jewish people specifically were killed under communism?
Something, 100 million were killed under communism at the minimum, at least 100 million. And I don't have any stats off the top of my head, but there were millions of Jews, Soviet Jews,
mm-hmm.
that for the simple act of practicing their religion, they were thrown into gulags in Siberia and left to rot. There were killings, there were executions, terrible, terrible persecutions merely for people wanting to practice their religion under the Soviet Union. you know, because in Marxist thinking and in communist thinking, a Jew is a rootless cosmopolitan. You know, you had show trials and every other thing. So this is sadly what we're facing in America now, I fear, with people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay.
Maxine Waters and the rest of them.
I just got a text message, which, let me read it. Louis, you're awesome. Sadly, there is no left-right. All a show for us. Well, yeah, I kind of do believe that there is a false left-right paradigm. It's not left or right. It's right and wrong. However, when you have one side that's actually trying to do right, I do believe that, you know, there are more actual libertarians trying to take back the Republican Party. More real people who are not controlled by the establishment trying to take
that's
back.
That's right, and they're not Russian bots either. The liberals want you to think that these are all paid, you know, agents of Putin's Russia. They're not. They're average Americans like me and you.
Yeah. That's a shout out to number 9220. Thank you. Thank you for that. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I agree. But I also think things are getting better. I do think things are getting better. The pushback, and by getting better, I believe that it's because there's a pushback finally happening. There are more people finally waking up. And honestly, if I could refer to last week's episode when I was talking to goodness. Pastor Dave Grisham. I think what did it was that the left is going after children, and that pissed off a lot of people. Especially with drag queens reading to children in public schools. You have this push for, you know, transgenderism, you know, among children and trying to get more and more accepted to raise genderless children. You know, you got real people that are like, no, you're not messing with my child. And then that opens their eyes to other issues, and they realize the fight is real, and they're pissed off. So mm-hmm. This is just me saying that they bit off a little bit more, that they went too far, and now it's the pushback. There are people pushing back, and hopefully it corrects itself. Hopefully we're able to bring, you know, turn back the tide. But the one thing we could do is do what we're doing right now. Discuss it. Expose it. You know, the best disinfectant, as they say, is sunlight. So once you give something attention, like when you flick the lights on, the roaches run away because they don't want to be seen. They want to be in the dark, not being seen, you know, eating up your food and whatnot. But you gotta, you know, sometimes you just gotta go in there. You flick the light on, you spray it, you clean your apartment, then you spray it down so that way they can't come back, and it takes work. And you know, I'm not saying that when we win that they're going to be gone forever. No, from that point on, it's going to have to be eternal vigilance, because this type of thing seems to like to rear its ugly head again. And it, like, you know, it gets smacked down. And then it goes to sleep for a few years, and then it comes back, and it's always coming from the colleges. It's always coming from the colleges. You have all these hippy dippy professors that think that they're being enlightened by hating on a culture or hating a religion or hating a country. because they don't have the stomach to defend themselves if they're attacked, or they'll do sneak attacks like Mr. Bike Lock guy, who who's facing 15 years in prison for his attack. In fact, what you call that? I mean, it's just a blowback. It's the pendulum swinging back, and we gotta continue fighting. But anyways, Rabbi, it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me on. The pleasure was mine. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to this show. A big shout out to everybody. I can't do this show without you. So, I mean, come back next week. Same crotch time, same crotch schedule. And as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
That's the end of my show. Donk.
Help the Crowd Shout Radio Show grow and thrive by doing something you already do. Shop on Amazon. Amazon always has great deals for whatever you are looking for. From survivalists and riot gear to Beanie Babies. Next time you're going to shop at Amazon, use my link. The prices stay the same, but I get credit for the sale. Just go to tinyurl.com/LouisB and just shop normally, knowing that you're helping support the Crowd Shout Radio Show. That's tinyurl.com/LouisB.